Always expect something good on your lunch hour. Connecting faith with life.
Well, good afternoon. Welcome to Connecting Faith. I'm Joe Bender. Great to have you here this afternoon. In for Neil today, and very excited because we get to just talk about sharing our faith today. Well, have you ever had that opportunity to kind of share your faith with someone, or maybe share who Jesus is on a plane, in a school, maybe out at the park, or maybe like with your own family? Well, maybe you froze, or maybe you spoke or kept quiet or felt like you were fumbling around and you weren't quite sure what to say or how to say it, or maybe you just walked away and didn't take that opportunity. Well, if that's you, if you said yes to any of those things, well, then you're going to enjoy the show today, because we're going to talk to the author of a book that says Beyond Awkward When Talking to Jesus Is Outside Your Comfort Zone. So if you've ever felt a little bit awkward or uncomfortable, well, this is a show we hope to equip you and encourage you, and also just give you some great helps on how to not walk away. Let me tell you a little bit about our guest for today, and we will get started with the show. Bo Crescetto loves helping people to connect and to share Jesus right where they are. He serves as the director of starting new Greek InterVarsity chapters on college campuses in Greater Los Angeles. He's also the founder of a missional blog called Release the Ape. We'll talk about that a little bit. And also has an MA in Evangelism and Leadership from Wheaton College. Bo has partnered in planting the church Vineyard Underground in Los Angeles as well, and written this fabulous book called Beyond Awkward. Welcome, Bo.
Thanks for having me.
Well, thanks for being here. I just loved reading your book, because I feel like all of those excuses that people have made, I've made myself as well. You address almost all of those, how we feel about sharing our faith. Why is it that we seem to feel so awkward about doing this?
Well, I just think talking about Jesus breaks a lot of social norms. So, you know, we're told not to press people about what's true, and we're not supposed to talk to strangers, and we're not supposed to do anything uncomfortable. And when you bring up Jesus, all three of those things happen. So we tend to shut down and just not go there.
And yet you write very many times that it's probably worth going there. Why do you encourage us to do that?
Well, I mean, for the obvious reason, for any Christians that are listening, that we believe that salvation is found in Jesus, and not only salvation in the terms of eternal life, but life to fullest now. And I didn't grow up Christian, so I became a Christian in college my freshman year. So I had 18 years of life without knowing who Jesus was. And for anyone that is in the faith now, you know how dramatic it is for Jesus to change your life, to heal you, to transform you, to give you new purpose. And so we have to tell people about Jesus. They're living without real life.
So why don't you tell us about your story of how you came to, how someone must have told you about Jesus, and then how your reaction caused you to want to know more about him.
Yeah, I came to college, like I said, as a freshman. I had a golf scholarship from Seattle. So I had a golf scholarship to the University of San Diego. And I went to college agnostic, meaning I believe there probably was a God out there, but I didn't really know what that meant. And right away, as soon as I got on campus, I met a guy who was really open to sharing about his faith with Jesus. And I actually met him in the weight room. And he was a guy that was connected to InterVarsity Christian Fellowship on campus and also to a local church. And he just said, hey, I want to invite you to this group. I'd love to bring you to church. Are you open to God at all? And I said, yeah, I am. I don't really know much about it, but I totally am open to it. And so he invited me. And as I got to know him and I got to know other guys in the group, within the first month of school, they explained the gospel to me and explained to me what it meant to have a relationship with Jesus. And I invited Jesus into my life. So, I mean, that's how it started right away, freshman year of college.
And how did that change your college experience from kind of what you perceived it would be?
Oh, a lot. I mean, It changed the way I used my time. My sophomore year, I became a leader in the ministry. It changed the way I went about relationships with women, changed the way I drank alcohol. It changed even my golf career. I ended up stopping playing golf after a few years in college because I felt like God was calling me more into the ministry. So So, I mean, it changed everything about the way that I went about college. The reason I went to college was to play golf, to chase women, to have a ton of fun. I mean, the school's 70% women. I was up. So it changed everything about the way I went about life once I knew Jesus and how he wanted me to live.
One of the things you wrote that that I just really took notice of is you said a lot of people are just waiting for someone to have that conversation with, and they are actually more open to it than we might think. How have you come to understand that truth, and how can you convince everyone who's listening that that is really actually how it might be?
Well, I have a few stories I can tell quickly. I mean, one is myself is a perfect example. I was waiting for a witness. I'm in the weight room, freshman year of college, and this guy talks to me about Jesus. I was not going to college to become like a radical follower of Jesus. Within a month of school, we had fall break. I went home. I talked to my dad about my faith, and he said, if you're going to be in heaven, I want to be in heaven. Mm-hmm. And he accepted Jesus right there. Never talked to him about it before. Mm-hmm. I've got a neighbor right now, 52-year-old guy. I'm 32, so he's 20 years older. And when I moved in a couple years ago, I brought up that I was a Christian, you know, I have faith, and we've gotten powerful spiritual conversations over the last few years. So I find there's people all around us that have spiritual questions, want to know about God, but they don't know who to reach out to. It's awkward for them to mm-hmm. hunt down a Christian to talk to. It's intimidating. And then most Christians are intimidated to bring it up with people that aren't already at their church. So that creates an environment where there's lots of waiting people that just are paralyzed and don't know what to do.
You know, I love that story that you wrote about your dad. In fact, I put a big star about it, star in it, because you were writing about that we shouldn't be reluctant to share our faith because people do want to hear it. And then, of course, your dad. I mean, I was just shocked. Were you shocked being fairly new in your faith to already have an opportunity to have this conversation and bring someone into a knowledge of who Jesus was? Were you shocked?
Yeah, I mean, I definitely was. I mean, speaking of like uncomfortable conversations, most kids aren't used to like having the spiritual conversation with their parents. You expect them to have that with you.
Mm-hmm.
And so it's probably just behind the conversation about sex. You usually don't bring that up with your parents. They bring that up with you. And so I was shocked. I was kind of just nervously filling him in about, you know, here's what I'm doing in college. Oh, yeah, I've become a Christian. And he was really inquisitive about it. And I shared with him the gospel. And that's when he said, hey, if you're going to be in heaven, I want to be in heaven. I want to do what you're doing. So I was totally shocked. But I had faith at that point. So I realized, oh, this must be how it works. You know, this must be what it means to like follow Jesus and help other people. So I was naive at the same time.
Well, and you also write that we should just push through that tension. There is a little bit of tension, and I'm sure it's similar to the tension. Well, I find that it's similar to the tension when I have to get up and give a talk on, you know, something, whether it's something like how you make a peanut butter and jelly sandwich or it's something, you know, more intense than that. There's this tension as you stand up, like, am I going to say the right thing? And it seems like having those spiritual conversations is very similar. But once you push through that, all of a sudden, you know, God just steps in and makes it much, much easier on us than we think it's going to be. Do you find that?
Yeah, I think you're right. And I think more and more in today's culture, people value authenticity. And, you know, maybe 2, 3, 4 decades ago, like people were really fascinated with an orator or someone that had the truth, the knowledge, and could present it to them. I think today people want real conversation. They want a real life. They don't want to be lectured. So I would just say that to your listeners to encourage them. It's not so much about having the right answers or the smooth presentation as it is about knowing people's lives, inviting them into your life, sharing what's true about you, which is that you're a follower of Jesus. And there are certain people that will be very curious, very open, want a connection with God. Not all people will. So that's where it can be awkward if they don't respond favorably. But some will be open, and they want a friendship and a conversation, not a presentation, not a professional. And I find that very true in our life.
And with everything, if you find something interesting about someone, you ask them more about it. You want to hear their story on whatever it was, you know, what kind of golfer you were, what you love about golf, why are you interested in golf? And it can be the same with faith. And so here we are. We get to tell our story about what God has done in our life. And it seems like when I read your dad's story, I was like, well, of course, he was interested. He was interested in what had changed in his son's life, and he wanted to know more about it. And what a great opportunity you had.
Yeah, and I find, you know, both sides. I find people that are very open, and then I find people that are, you know, shutting it down. So, for example, I have a couple, a neighbor couple down the street from us that we've been getting to know the last 6 months, and we have dinner with them about once a month with our kids. And we just got in a conversation a couple dinners ago where they said, oh, well, one of our biggest conflicts when we just got married was whether we would go to church or not. And obviously, and then the wife said, obviously the husband won because they don't go to church. So that was kind of an awkward thing to hear them say that. But then they didn't want to talk about faith at all. And here we are, my wife and I, who love talking about faith, we're in the ministry. That was a time where there was no questions. There was no curiosity from them. It was just kind of an interjection. That being said, I'm out with a new friend 2 weeks ago to go watch game one of NBA Finals. He invites me out. He's an African-American guy. I'm hanging out with him and his friends. And he says to me, well, I'm not really that connected with God at this point. I mean, I go to church, but it's hard for me to believe in the Bible because of slavery and how it was endorsed by Christians in our past. So what do you have to say about that? And I said, man, I don't think we have enough time in this car to have this conversation. I have some answers, need to learn more. And I didn't have all the answers. We didn't finish the conversation. We're going to have the conversation in the coming weeks. But I actually texted one of my African-American friends and said, what's a good book to read on how to answer this guy's question about slavery in the Bible? And he texted me back 2 or 3 good books. I'm going to read them, and I'm going to have better answers for our conversation. Mm-hmm. So that's an example of even how I'm learning, I'm growing, and it's more important about being in the conversation than it is about having the right answer.
Well, talking with author Bo Corsetto today, he is the director for starting new Greek university chapters on college campuses in greater Los Angeles, also has written a fabulous book called Beyond Awkward, When Talking About Jesus is Outside Your Comfort Zone, which it may be for many of us. If you want to learn a little bit about how you can get into that conversation or at least be open to it, we would love to be able to get you a copy of this book. We have several to give away. Just give us a call at 877-93-FAITH. That's 877-933-2484. Or maybe you'd like to ask Bo a question. He is willing and open to answer any of your questions, or maybe you'd just like to share an experience you had that maybe was a little bit awkward, or better yet, an experience that was awkward but then came out to be great at the end. We'd love to hear from you. 877-93-FAITH. We'll be right back on Connecting Faith.
Words to speak, let my spirit sleep, 'cause I can't think of anything worth saying, but I know.
Back to Connecting Faith. Thanks for joining us this afternoon. I'm Joe Bender, and we're talking with author Bo Corsetto today. He has written a book called Beyond Awkward, When Talking About Jesus is Outside Your Comfort Zone. So if you've ever felt uncomfortable bringing up your faith to someone, and yet you've had a prompting to do so, Bo, you write quite a bit about that, about just getting a prompting to speak to someone or maybe go somewhere or do something. Can you talk a little bit about more? How do we recognize those promptings? And then the second step is be obedient to them.
Yeah, I mean, I feel like, one, there's the general revelation from Scripture that says, hey, go, you're my witnesses. So every believer, no matter what your gifting is, we're called to be a witness. We're called to reveal Jesus. We're called to be a light. So in one sense, we should have a general prompting. Like, we should be alert every day. Who are people that are around me that are open, that are aware? That being said, inside of that general sense of alertness, I think we can develop promptings from the Lord. One, and most clearly, as we hear him speaking to us, I believe God speaks to us today and will nudge us with his voice, the quiet voice. One of my friends, which I really believe is, he's put me on to the idea that we, you know, since we're body, soul, and spirit, we can even have a sense physically, like we can feel things in our body that are indicating something spiritual going on. And as I've paid attention to that the last few years, all tend to feel like a heaviness, like a burden. And oftentimes when I sense that, I'll ask a person, hey, you know, I'll ask them a question or I'll ask more about the topic we're talking about, and I'll sense, and then I'll see, hey, God is working in there. There will be a breakthrough in the conversation. What he would say is he feels a sadness come on him. When he starts feeling a sadness, it indicates him to ask more questions, and oftentimes it leads to a breakthrough in the conversation. Does that make sense or come through clear on the radio?
Sure. I mean, I'm guessing that God, you know, he can do anything. And so he's going to reach us in a way that we are reachable and that we recognize. And for some people, that may be the sadness. Some people may have a feeling. Some people may have a physical ailment. But he needs to get our attention some way. And I'm guessing he will go to whatever length he needs to do that.
Yeah. I mean, obviously, I'm a huge believer in scripture, and, you know, God's not going to say anything outside of the scope of the scripture. That being said, I think we can limit God's creativity by thinking, well, if I don't only see it in the Bible, then God must not be speaking to me. And when it comes to everyday witness, when you're out and about or talking to people where you're in Bible study, I think God speaks to us through lots of mediums. I think that one of them is our emotions. One of them is through our minds. One of them is how we feel. And to learn how to pay attention to those, you can have a spiritual discernment about something. And I've found that really helpful in my witness. Just last night, I was spending time with people, and I had a sense in the moment, again, a heaviness where I felt like there's something not right here. And as I asked more questions, it popped open the conversation, and the person actually confessed something that had been in the dark. And it became clear, okay, this is what I was feeling. This is what I was sensing. And now God's making it come into the light. I was able to bring it to scripture, share testimony, things like that. But it was actually my sense or my feeling that allowed me to discern what the Spirit was doing.
Some people may say, well, I'm really not called to be an evangelist. I'm really not called to share my faith. That's my pastor's job, or that's an elder's job at the church. Those people, that's what they're supposed to do. How do you respond to that so that people will know whether or not they are called to share their own story as well?
Yeah, well, I appreciate the honesty. I get that question a lot, or that statement. What I would say is, are you called to tithe if you don't have the gift of giving? Are you called to have hospitality or be hospitable people if you don't have the gift of hospitality? Are you called to serve if you don't have a service gift? Absolutely you are. If your pastor is the only one who was called to tithe, your church would be broke. And what I would say is there are evangelists who are gifted specifically in evangelism, sharing the faith and training others, but we are all called to witness. And there are only certain people that are in your neighborhood, in your job, at your school, on your team that you can reach. Your pastor can. And in the same way, we all need to give our money. We all need to serve. We all need to be hospitable. Some are just more gifted or better at it than others.
Hmm. That is some great encouragement. I know I've heard that before as well. And sometimes it makes me a little bit sad because I just encourage everyone that everybody has a story. You have your own story. It's not the same as my story, but you have a story, and no one can refute that, how God has worked in your life, how your life has been changed. And all you need to do is share that story. And that is being a witness.
Yeah, absolutely. I think sharing stories is the most powerful way to get into spiritual conversations and make a pathway for the gospel to be shared. People want to see how Jesus is working in you. I would say today in our culture, as I mentioned earlier, people want authenticity. I think people want to know what is real, how it's working, more than they want to know what's true. So most of our evangelism training and tactics are about sharing what's true about God or the Bible. But I think most people today want to know, is this real? So they hear your story. What do you mean God answered your prayer? What do you mean God healed you? What do you mean God's transforming you? What do you mean God spoke to you? They want to hear stories of how God's working in your life, because they're figuring out, could he actually work in my life? So learning how to tell stories of transformation where God's changing us and working in us is so important. And I try to lead with those and share those all the time with people that are not believers.
Well, and that story could lead them then to the next question once they get to the point of then asking, you know, can you lead me through scripture on, you know, what it is that Jesus did? What is Romans Road? Can you drive me a diagram? I mean, they may get to that point, but first you write that we need to share our experience so that, just as you said, they know that God is capable of changing a person's life.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, my goal is to be able to get them into scripture. My goal is to be able to share the gospel with them about Jesus, you know, life, death, resurrection, and return. Like, I want to get to that, the importance of the cross, all of that. But most people, especially engaging people that are not going to church or not following Jesus, they're not going to be able to engage you with Romans Road right away. Mm. They need to hear your story. They need to hear how God's working. They need an entry point, off the front door, if you use like a house analogy. If someone's intrigued by my story and I can discern that or tell that in the conversation, then what I do is I invite them into a scripture study. I'll invite them to what I call God investigation group, a gig. And that is Jesus interacting with another person. So woman at the well, or the lame man at the pool, or the blind man in John 8, those are what I would call gigs, like Jesus working in someone's life. And I'll sit down and I'll look at scripture with them, and we'll talk about who Jesus is, how he works in people's lives, and then the conversation will develop from there. So that tends to be the progression I go with: conversation, transformational stories, then some scripture, a gig, and then hopefully I'll be able to share the gospel with them and even pray with them.
Do you think that it's changing in how many of us were trained to have a spiritual conversation with people and starting with you're a sinner in need of a savior? Do you think that that's changing with the culture, or is it just dependent on who you're speaking with, where you start?
No, I mean, both. I think the culture's definitely changed then from 20, 30 years ago, where a lot of our training is coming from. But I also think it depends on the person. So, again, if someone is a more of an experiential person, which most people under the age of 35 are, they're experientially oriented, then they need to be engaged with what is real, what is working, not with what is true. So what I mean by that is people that are asking what is true, they need to be engaged with how do you get to heaven, what is hell, why did Jesus pay for your sins? What does that mean? Really true, hard things in scripture. But if you're experiential, you need to be engaged with story and how it's working and what is real.
And the first thing, of course, we need to do is have that initial conversation. We're going to talk more about
that
with author Bo Crosetto. He's written a fabulous book called Beyond Awkward: When Talking About Jesus Is Outside Your Comfort Zone. We're going to talk more about how we can get beyond awkward and maybe how we can start some of those conversations coming up on Connecting Faith. We'll be right back. Back to Connecting Faith. Thanks for joining us this afternoon. We're talking a little bit about sharing our story and evangelism. Evangelism could be kind of a scary word sometimes, but really we're just talking about how do you get into a conversation with someone about Jesus, about what he's done in your life, and how do we encourage them to want to know more or make some intrigue. We're talking with author Bo Crosetto today. He just loves helping people connect and share Jesus right where they are. And that's kind of the way that we have to approach it, isn't it, Bo? We have to meet people where they are instead of where we'd like to bring them, right?
Absolutely. I think the people that make the best witnesses for Jesus are those that are super curious people that actually make it part of their spirituality to be curious. And I think when you're a curious person, you want to understand where people are, what they like, what they do, what makes them tick. And so the more we can get into people's world, like into their homes, into their hobbies, become true friends with them and and know about them because we're curious, it will create amazing conversation points. Some of them will be spiritual. And whether you're shy, whether you're young, whether you're old, it doesn't matter. The best people I've seen that share their faith are those that are very curious people.
Well, and I love having conversations with people who are very curious because they start asking me questions and I just start praying in my head right then because I'm like, well, this will at some point have to turn around to God. And so I want to be able to answer whatever they're curious about. And so it's fun to have conversations with people who are curious, and I need to be more curious myself as well.
Yeah, absolutely. And I think, you know, for those of you that are out there wondering, like, well, hey, what does it actually mean to be a curious person? I think a couple things on that. One is just every day when you wake up, even spend some time praying and asking God to make you curious, to make you someone that's excited to get to know other people. And I think if you're someone that can start to ask open-ended questions to people and make it a point to let them talk, and to find out more about them, not as a lawyer interrogating them, but just open-ended questions, getting to know them, you'll find yourself in amazing conversations because people will tell you a lot. Most people don't have people to talk to who really want to listen.
Well, and I don't know about you. It sounds like from reading your book that you and your wife love to get to know new couples. And my husband and I love to hear that first date story. How did you meet? And it's just such a great way to get people talking about themselves and their relationship, and they always laugh, and there's always something funny about it.
Yeah, there is. So, I mean, yeah, obviously hearing date stories is great. There's lots of just normal avenues in the conversation, and that's exactly right. For my wife and I, or for you listening, I don't always start with spiritual or intense questions. Actually, most of the time I don't, because you'll blow people out of the water. So talking about hobbies, talking about how you met, talking about why are you interested in your major? Why did you pick that job? Like, what motivates you for that? Those are great places to start to get, like, deeper motivations, deeper drives that will ultimately allow you to turn the conversation to God as the conversation develops.
And yet that's where the awkwardness comes in. In fact, I circled a quote in your book. I'm going to read that. It says, sometimes our ego gets in the way. And in these moments, we're thinking more highly of ourselves than maybe we ought to. We all need an ego check here. It's important to ask ourselves regularly, am I tempted to chicken out because of how I might look or feel? Or is this genuinely a bad time to bring up Jesus? So how do we discern within those great, fun conversations we're having with people, getting to know them, where it might be appropriate to bring up Jesus?
Yeah, that's a great question. By the way, on BoCrescetto.com, I have 3 evangelism videos, and I answer in 20 minutes a video, what's the difference between being bold and what's the difference between being pushy? How do you navigate the difference? And what I would say is that there's always going to be a time when you have to bring up Jesus. What I would say, it's on the witness, it's on the Christian to be proactive. You see that in scripture all the time, Jesus versus disciples. We have to break the ice. So there will always be a time, no matter how great the environment is, that you will have to take a step out, ask a question, turn it to Jesus, and you're going to have to check. I call it the curiosity pulse. Like, you're checking their pulse for life of curiosity. Is this person open? Are they curious about God? So when you're at a dinner party or you're with a friend, you're going to have to find a moment where you're going to have to ask them, hey, do you have a spiritual background? Hey, would you ever want to talk more about faith? Or, hey, you're going to have to interject and see, are they open? Are they curious? Depending how they respond determines if you will be a pushy person or a bold person. If they are open and like, yeah, I would like to talk about that sometime, or interesting you bring that up, my wife and I were just talking about that the other day, now it's your time to be bold, to go forward, to keep going, to push in, and to see if you can get a great conversation about Jesus happening. But if you check their curiosity and you interject a question like, what's your spiritual background, and they say, oh, you know, I don't really have one, I'm not that interested in this, you need to shut that conversation down and not go forward, because you would then become pushy. So there is a difference between being bold and pushy, and oftentimes we're trained, like, keep going, keep trying to get them to understand you or share your testimony, and I find that really pushy. I'm looking for open people And if they're not open, I'm fine waiting, praying, continuing conversation about other things.
And so once you can kind of figure out, hey, maybe I can go somewhere, maybe I can say something, then that's the time to not walk away, correct? And yet that's
yeah,
that awkwardness
absolutely.
You're talking about where you're just, where you're not sure what you should say or what you should do. And you say on the other side of that awkwardness is something quite amazing.
Yeah, I would say that oftentimes on the other side of awkwardness is a breakthrough.
Mm-hmm.
And even the most powerful moments I've had, whether it was with my dad, whether it's with my neighbor, whether it's been with classmates, they always have a tension point where you're like, I don't know if I should bring this up. Like I'm driving with one of my neighbors and he's sharing with me about depression, about alcohol, all these different things. And I had a moment where I was like, maybe I should bring up, has he ever considered where God is in this? Well, that's a tense moment. I don't want to like blow this, but I also felt like the best thing I could do for him is help him understand where God is in this problem.
Hmm.
And so I literally decided, I felt like I need to bring this up. So we're driving in the car and I said, hey, Ben, have you ever considered where God could be in these issues that you're struggling with? And I sat back, was quiet, and let him respond. He said, I've never considered that, but I'm open to it. Like, what do you mean? I've never even had anyone talk to you about God before.
Hmm.
And so that was like that deep breath of sigh of relief, like, okay, good, you responded well. So then I went into a longer conversation. But if he would have said, you know what, I've never really considered it, I don't like talking about God, it gives me the heebie-jeebies or whatever, I would have said, hey, no problem, just wanted to check in, like, no problem at all, let's keep talking. And I would have then been patient and waited for another opportunity another day. I wouldn't have pushed him to give it a chance.
Well, because sometimes it just, that's the little seed that you get to plant. And then the next time that there's something going on in his life, maybe he will think about what God might have to say about it and want to talk to you about it.
Absolutely. And oftentimes what I would follow up with in that, if like, for instance, I was playing golf with another guy and I tried to bring up Jesus with him and he said, you know what, I don't really want to talk about this. This was kind of, that was awkward. And I was like, hey, no problem. We just spent the rest of the time talking about sports. But what I often will say to someone like that is, hey, no problem at all. If you ever want to talk about faith or talk about God, think of me. Like I'm a person that would love to talk to you about it. And oftentimes people that have questions don't know who to talk to. So don't ever feel bad bringing it up with me. I love helping people figure out where God is and what he's doing. And I love setting that tone because it lets them feel, you know, take the pressure off about having the conversation now. But if another day when they're putting their head on the pillow and they're reflecting and they're thinking, man, I do have these questions, well, instantly I pop up in their mind and they go, oh, I should ask Bo about that. He already cleared the air on that.
Mm.
And I've had people come back to me and ask me, hey, you know how you said I could ask you a question? I do have one now. And then it's great. It's authentic. It's normal. It's organic. It's not pressuring.
Well, if you are listening and maybe you have a question for Bo, or maybe you have a question about God, or maybe you have a question about talking about God, well, we actually put a little post on our Facebook page. You can just search My Faith Radio on Facebook. You can post your question there and Bo would be able to respond to that. Or you can give us a call at 877-93-FAITH. That's 877-933-2484. We still have a couple of copies of Bo's book to give away. We'd love to get that in your hands or in the hands of someone who you think might need it. Again, you can call. Carissa's on the phone lines at 877-933-2484. We'll be right back with Bo Crescetto talking about his book, Beyond Awkward, and having conversations about who Jesus is. Back to Connecting Faith. Thanks for joining us this afternoon. Having a great conversation today with author Bo Crescetto. He's written a book called Beyond Awkward. When talking about Jesus is outside your comfort zone, I would say that that is the majority of us, even if we've been believers for a long time, unless we're in that church community or a community of others who we know where we know exactly what they believe, then it's tough to kind of break in and have those conversations. And yet Jesus calls us to do that. And so we should be more prepared. Well, Bo, as I'm just going through some great tips that you have in your book, one of the things that you talk about is that many people think that just the word evangelist, that those people are weird. How did we get to that point and how can we dispel that?
Yeah, well, let's be honest. A lot of times evangelists have been weird, and we've made evangelism look too slick, or like you've got to have all the right answers, or it's got to be like a white extroverted male, and it's just gotten this name that's become either negative or elite or for a special person. And I hate that that's happened. I always start by saying, hey, there are gifted evangelists, and that's true. And many aren't those people, and that's okay. But when it comes to witnessing, sharing our faith, doing evangelism, we're all called to that. And the whole point of my book is to write the target person for my book is someone who wants to share their faith, wants to make an impact in someone around them, but you feel nervous, you feel stuck, you don't know what to do. And my book encourages you and tries to make evangelism feel like something that anyone can do, everyone needs to do, because special, in quotations, evangelists can't reach everyone that you're around.
Well, and you said one great way to start is that morning prayer, just saying, God, you know, give me someone that you want me to talk to today, or be specific in whatever it is that you're praying, and then let God take care of that role, and then you be ready for your role. Talk more about that.
Yeah, well, I think that, you know, 90% of our evangelistic effectiveness has to do with the way we're thinking, the way that we're starting our day. So often what I share in my trainings on spiritual conversations is that we need to get a few things right in our mind and our prayer life. One is that the harvest is plentiful. The workers are few. But if we're being honest, most of us believe that the harvest is few and the workers are plentiful. You know, many of us, there's many people out there that will share the faith, my pastor, whoever, and I don't have that many non-believers around me, so it's not that urgent. But Scripture says, no. There's many people around you that are in need of Jesus. The harvest is plentiful, and there aren't very many workers, so we need you in the game. If you start praying that and focusing on that, man, that will change the way you see your day. That will change the way you see people. And then I just, you know, encourage people in a few other ways, like see yourself as the person God's going to use, not your pastor. And I just love to help people think about and even write little network maps. Who are all the people you know? And if you were the only one that was going to share the gospel with them, how would that change your day? It would change all of our days.
And just to be ready then when that moment arrives, to just see that as this answer to prayer. You prayed it in the morning. Now it's upon you. And what's the best way then to say, okay, I need to say something. This has got to answer my prayer. What's the best way to not want to turn and run?
Well, the best way is just to recognize and embrace that God wants to use you. You're the person that God wants to use in their life. I'm really apprehensive to give any formula because it's not formulaic. It's more about being a person who's saying, I'm going to engage my friends, my family, my coworkers in real life, in real conversation. And so as you become curious, as you start to realize you're the person God's going to use, you start to put yourselves in other people's lives, 100% God will bring up conversations at some point. So the way you keep yourself from running is realizing I'm the person for the job. Like God's going to use me here. And even if you don't know the answers, even if you don't know what to say, it's okay. You can go learn them. You can tell your friend, I don't know the answer to this question. I need to learn it. People value authenticity more than they answer cookie cutter answers. So, more than they value cookie cutter answers. So stay engaged and realize you're the one that God's going to use. That's what will keep you from running.
Well, and even as we read the book of Acts, I mean, those disciples who were going out for the first time, they didn't know all the answers, but they stayed with it. They stayed the course, and God did amazing things.
Yeah, absolutely. And there's even a great scripture in Acts, I think in Acts 4, where it says they knew that these were unlearned, ordinary men, right? But they could tell they'd been with Jesus. And that's why I love encouraging people with their testimony and transformational stories, because, listen, even if you don't know a ton of answers, if you're with Jesus and you're letting him change your life in the different areas of sin and brokenness in your own life, you should have lots of stories to tell about how God's working on you with anger or with impatience or with lust or with materialism. And sharing those stories with your friends about how God's bringing you true life, that will pique people's curiosity, some of them at least. And you don't have to have Bible answers for that. You just have to have your own walk with God.
Well, Bo, we have a listener calling in from Fargo. Diane, are you on the line?
Yes, I am.
What's your question for Bo?
How would you approach a Muslim, though, to witness to a Muslim?
Yeah, that's a great question. What I can quickly get to in this conversation is, you know, Muslims love to talk about Jesus as well. I wouldn't start with him as God, but Jesus is a big figure in the Muslim faith. So to ask them about Jesus, ask them about who he is in their faith and their religion, the importance of him, to talk about the ideas of prophets, those are always great places to start with Muslims. I wouldn't start and I wouldn't get into very quickly the idea of one God because they get really confused by that and they'll start hammering you on the Trinity and what that means. You'll need to learn a little bit more about that. But asking them about Jesus, conversation about Jesus, the importance of Jesus will be a great starting place with a Muslim.
Thanks so much for calling in, Diana. And I find if I don't, or when I go home, if I've acted in a way that wasn't Christ-like, then my heart is so, so grieved. And so, Bo, talk about just the importance of maybe you don't know what to say all of the time, but if someone knows that you are a Christ follower, the way that you act, what you say, what you do is going to say volumes about who he is as well.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, our character is a witness, and people around us are watching our character. They're watching how we treat our friends, our family, what we say, what we do. I'm not saying that we've got to be perfect here, but being accountable to your actions and being accountable to striving to live like Jesus is so important, because many of the conversations I will get in will come back around to, why am I choosing to live the way I live? Why do I do the things I do with my family? Why do I only drink this much? Why do I go these places? Why do I use my money the way I use it? Or for a couple of my neighbors, I've talked about how I've gone in fights with my wife, and I will come back to them and be like, hey, look, I totally blew with my wife. This is how I deal with anger or frustration. This is how I bring it to God. I have those conversations with my neighbor versus going off and drinking or going off and gambling or going off and saying, oh, I don't care, screw her. You know, like, I'm trying to show them. I still get in fights. I lose my temper, but I repent. I ask for forgiveness. I try to reconcile. That's an important witness to someone when you're trying to show them, like, does Jesus make a difference in your everyday life or marriage or family?
And that we will still have struggles, but Jesus helps us with those struggles, and that we need to continue to go to him. I think a lot of people think that once you've made the decision to follow Christ, that you won't have any of those troubles anymore. And sometimes those conversations are the richest conversations that I get to have with those who are seeking him.
Absolutely. I mean, those are the vulnerable, authentic, real conversations that allow them to see that you're not this like scary Christian that might be part of a cult or something. Whereas, oh, this is a real person, real struggles. And they have answers that they believe are real, that are God. So that's where I see those shifts happen a lot, is when people start realizing, oh, like, this is not just some religious cult thing. Like, this is actually an operating system that he has, or a worldview that he's taken on that actually helps him through his problems. Like, oh, okay, this is more compelling.
We have a listener who has written in. I'm going to ask that question on her behalf. Glad he wrote in and said, how do I share my faith that I'm so excited about with a friend that I haven't talked to in a long time. I've changed quite a bit, and it doesn't seem like they're too interested in my faith. How can I tone it down a bit?
What I would say is when you get together with that person, whether it's on Skype or in person, when you ask them to share about what's going on in their life, update me on the last 5 years or whatever, tell me the big rocks, and you do the same, tell them about 3 or 4 big changes in your life, things that are going on, whether you have a new boyfriend or whether you've gotten married or you've moved, but make one of those things, I've also started following Jesus. And spend 5 minutes talking about how your relationship with Jesus is changing your life. Don't spend 5 minutes telling them about why they need to follow Jesus. Spend 5 minutes telling them about how following Jesus is giving you purpose, or is made you less angry, or has made you more peaceful, or whatever the truth is about your transformation, spend it there. But if it's 5 minutes out of an hour, that's not going to be overwhelming. That's going to be fine. And then I'd probably end that 5 minute section by saying, hey, I'd love to talk more about this. I don't want to overwhelm you or come across as like a religious freak. Maybe you guys would laugh at that moment, but say like, let's talk more about that if you're curious. I don't know. Are you curious? Let them respond. That's a totally fair way to do it.
Gladie, thanks so much for writing that in. And I just wish you the best of luck in having those conversations. And I encourage you to have them as well, because I just gathered with 3 of my high school friends, and we are all so different than we were in high school, and just all talked about our faith and the difference it's made in our lives. And they're just such great, rich conversations. And I just encourage you to have them. So thanks so much for writing in. You know, Bo, one of the things I was thinking about just as you were answering Gladys' question is the telling about the difference that God has made in your life. And if we look at scripture, the woman in the well does that. She goes back to town. She just says, hey, I met this guy. I think here's what he said about me. She shares that story. The man who was healed of a demon possession, the man who was healed of blindness. I mean, Jesus said, go tell people what happened, and then they'll come to me. And then he got to do the rest. And so maybe we shouldn't be so intimidated about having all the answers, but just sharing what you said, how the difference he's made in our life.
Yeah, absolutely. And this is where I'll spend, you know, a minute here. I know the show's almost done, but challenging you that are listening that are Christians. In Western Christianity, we're so much more concerned with having knowledge than we're concerned with being obedient to God. And so many of you that are listening right now, you don't need more answers about God. That's an excuse that you're hiding behind. Mm. What you actually need is transformation with Jesus. And if you're allowing him to change every part of your life into alignment with his will, be it your sexuality, your sexual practice, your money, your time, the way you treat your family, if you actually let God correct you in those different areas, you will have transformational stories to tell. Because we're all sinful people. And if you share those, that's a prophetic word. That's a compelling word to the people on our streets, because they don't know how to use their money well. They don't know how to use their sexuality well. They don't know how to treat their families well. And if you're doing that and sharing it, they will want to know more. That takes no Bible answers. That takes obedience to letting God be Lord in your life. Mm.
Well, why don't you tell us how people can find out? You had mentioned before that they could go to your website, get some tips on having conversations and how to avoid being pushy. Can you talk a little bit more about that before we say goodbye?
Absolutely. Yeah. At BoCrocetto.com, I tend to put on a weekly, like 3-minute video where I answer people's questions about evangelism. So if you have a question for me, leave me a question at BoCrocetto.com. I'll answer it via video. But then I also have training videos you can find on my website where I've made professional 20-minute videos that I answer some of the bigger questions, like how do I get beyond the awkward, or how do I deal with bold versus pushy. They're all on there for free. You just need to subscribe, and they'll be delivered to you via email.
Bo, thanks so much for joining us and just encouraging us to be bold and speaking about our faith and who God is in our life. We thank you so much for joining us.
Yeah, thank you. It was fun.
Have a great day. You've been listening to Connecting Faith.